Hello and welcome to the Poorhammer Podcast, episode 119. I'm your host, Brad. This is my co-host, Eric.
How's it going?
And the Corn Lord of Skulls is not a tank, it's a knight.
All right, fair, but that was last week's episode. We're not doing a back-to-back on that, so get over it.
I don't know why I had that thought. Could have been the YouTube comments on my other monitor. But this week's episode, we're going to be building better combat patrols again.
It was great fun last time, so I mean, may as well see how it goes this time.
I am upping the difficulty for us. Last time, we got away with 3 because we did the whole explanation of what a combat patrol was in the beginning. This time, we're doing 5.
I think we should be able to do it.
But without any further ado, let's jump into this thing.
Sounds good.
All right, before we just start rattling off our lists, we should probably explain the rules of engagement again. For a full rundown, you can look at our last episode on this topic where we did our first 3 lists.
That was a pretty in-depth discussion on the rules and like why we wanted to do it kind of thing.
So for this time, here's our quick look at the rules. It has to fit in the box. You can't just willy-nilly throw stuff together. It has to make manufacturing sense.
Which sounds obvious, but actually not trivial.
The models must currently exist. We can't dream up new things. This is about current GW products that we can put into a combo box. The box should be a balanced list. You should have an HQ, a battle line unit, an elite unit, a centerpiece unit, maybe some other stuff, but at least those 4 should be present.
And has to be within relation to the army itself. It's not like you're expecting a bunch of melee stuff in Tau.
Though I'm not fully against us doing thematic combat patrols as like secondaries.
Yeah.
But not for the general combat patrol for each faction. Seeing as these are discount boxes and the main way to get into 40k, we want them to cost at least 500 points to field. We do not want a situation, AdMech, Sisters, etc., where we've got like 300 points in this box and it would take you infinity dollars to build the army.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious that they've kind of failed the whole one box versus another box should be equal, but like we can try and make it at least reasonable, and like 500 points is a solid start to an army.
And then since we're GW and we're a little bit on the evil side today, we're trying to think realistically. We don't want to just make this be a huge discount where, you know, you get everything you could ever want for $160. It's never gonna work like that. Brad from the future here. I was just watching a 40k VTuber, which I'll never live down admitting to, but he did point out something that is very important for what we've just recorded, as this whole episode we talk about MSRP that is all changing the day before this goes live. So all prices mentioned in this episode are based on last week's prices, not the one on GW's website today. I will now return you to your normally scheduled shenanigans. So looking historically at the combat patrols that existed during 9th edition and up until basically this week for Gene Stealer Cults, the best discounts we've had for a combat patrol are nearing 50% discount, like $300 MSRP. So we're going to cap ourselves below that. Preferably like 40-ish seems to be a comfortable spot where all the good ones tend to be.
The ones that were 50-ish were like a rarity, and like there was something wrong to get to that point, like be it points-wise or like rules-wise, whatever. Like, there was reasons beyond that, like, forced that to happen. But I feel like the 40% was like, these are the good ones.
Which still means we have over, like, $260 to play with on each of these.
Yeah.
And that's our cap. We can go below it, but that's just to keep us from being too generous to ourselves.
Right, because, I mean, it's so easy to be like, I'll just put all of this stuff in, cram the box as full as possible, make it the biggest box that we can technically do, and hey, I won.
And as a bonus rule to ourselves, we want to make sure this is a box that is good to buy more than one of. We don't want something ultra slanted where the second one feels bad. We don't want one where it's a named character where you would never want a second one. Death Guard.
That's gonna be tough, but multiples is good. I don't think that like we focus on like, oh, you want 3 or 4 of them, but like you should want 2 of them. Okay, so that's kind of the rules. Let's actually get into the lists. Brad, what kind of lists are we actually looking at?
Well, I was in a very chaosy mood this week, so I threw together 3 lists, all of which are chaos. Very different lists, though.
Luckily, I did not do chaos, I guess.
Yeah, so you actually covered a Xeno army and the spiciest list.
Got an Imperium one.
Definitely being saved for the end, because out of all of these, it's the most entertaining.
We might have some bias, but I think, you know, we're saving the best for the last. But, you know, that's Imperium, right? They're always the best.
So I guess I'll start us off with the one that I think a lot of people wanted me to cover last episode, which is Thousand Sons.
Yeah. Oh, man, if you have fucking Zangors in there, I'm going to lose my mind.
I really debated it. I unironically debated Zangor. They make for a fine last few things to throw in the box. However, I didn't want to just because of the bad taste they left in everyone's mouth recently.
Yeah, I get that Zangors are like a solid, like, hey, we couldn't think of anything else to like finish this off. Let's just toss Zangor in there and it'll be fine kind of thing. But man, given the last one, you can't do it. The amount of shit you would get for putting Zangor in our fixed version after what they gave us before. No way.
So Thousand Sons is an interesting one. I avoided it on the first episode because it has problems from a manufacturing standpoint. A lot of people will be wondering why I went with the list I went with. So we're going to break it down spot by spot as to why. First up is characters. And this is one of the hard parts with Thousand Sons. Let's just roll through our options real quick because the army is not very big. You can have Exalted Sorcerer and Exalted Sorcerer on disc. They're not going to be in this because they come as a three-man unit thing box that makes three whole characters. They're on a combo sprue thing where you can't pull them apart. They're great. Absolutely amazing kit. One of the best for spare parts. Phenomenal, phenomenal kit because you get a ton of points for the actual money you put in. You get a lot of variety.
Yeah, interestingly, the fact that that one is kind of difficult to break apart and put into the combat patrol, and the fact that like it is a good value on its own, honestly lends really well to being like, okay, get the combat patrol and get this.
Right. So while they're not in this box, I think that's actually a boon because they're going to be one of the things you want to pick up first after this box, and they're a good value. Next up, we've got the Thousand Sun Sorcerer and the Thousand Sun Sorcerer and Terminator Armor. Both of these are kit bashes of general CSM leaders. The Thousand Sun Sorcerer, what a lot of people do is put an Exalted Sorcerer on foot onto a 40 mil base instead of a 32 mil base, but whatever, same difference. Either way, they're not official kits I can just throw in the box. You could, if you were being very clever, you could throw in a CSM Sorcerer and Terminator armor with Scarab Occult Terminators and change the instructions to show you to put a Sot head and a Sot headdress.
No.
But this is why we didn't do it. Your no is immediately why.
It would be big brain, awesome, cool, but never gonna happen.
Right. So that's why we avoided those. We're definitely not adding a named character, so no Ahriman. But you're going to see why Ahriman was the old start collecting HQ. Magnus the Red is flat out, obviously. He's a whole combat patrol on his own, no.
What about Magnus?
So that leaves us with the Demon Prince, which kind of awkward, but it's technically an option. It's really awkward because the new kit lets you build the Demon Prince with wrong heads so that you can theme them Khorne or Slaanesh or Nurgle. So it's probably not going to ever be in a box like this that's targeting the newest player.
I'd have to actually like see the sprue. That one's probably okay.
In the themed boxes, it won't happen, but it may happen for like CSM or for demons themselves. So that leaves us with two last options. A Zangor Shaman or the Infernal Master, which is currently the HQ in the Combat Patrol. And this is why it's the HQ in the Combat Patrol and will be for forever. Or the Combat Patrol will use Ahriman again and you'll be back to a named character issue.
Or you get a new character at some point.
Right, but he was our brand new character. Like, he's what we got as a solution to the problem. He's fine, but that's why we're locked in with this HQ. Now we get to the other manufacturing issue, which is you cannot give someone 5 Rubric Marines. It doesn't work that way. Yes, they're units of 5. Yes, you always run them in units of 5 unless you're doing like a big flamer bomb just because of how cabal points work, blah blah blah.
Right.
You cannot put 5 Rubric Marines into a box because the sprue is laid out in a way where all 10 of them get built or 0 of them get built.
One of the sprues like has all the guns.
One of the sprues has all of the legs. One of the sprues has all the heads and the gun arms and stuff. So like you cannot just give them half of the box.
Which sucks because now you've got what, 210 points?
Yep. That's where we get into the like, you either give people 10 rubrics or no rubrics. So a lot of people were complaining there weren't rubrics in the Thousand Sons box last time, so I put 10 rubrics in here.
I do think that that is a perfectly valid complaint. Rubrics are your battle line. They're like the core part. Put it in the combat patrol.
It's a fair complaint, but a lot of people have the solution of just throw 5 rubrics in there. You can't do that. Rubrics probably just need to be updated. They are like the last edition before GW figured out how to manufacture these sprues to like work best for combo boxes and stuff. A rubric remake in Primaris scale would probably be more correct to like be more Death Guard sized than rubric sized.
Yeah, there's no reason that they can't redo rubrics in the beefier size, but I don't expect it anytime particularly soon.
No, but it is one that causes heartache from a manufacturing standpoint, so I bet there is internal push for this. So we're locked into an Infernal Master and 10 Rubric Marines. We have 60% of our list tied up already. Now, to finish it off is where we get to play. I did not want to do the very obvious, boring thing of throw 5 Sots in here and we're done. Also, I don't think that's even a discount by very much.
Scarab Cult Terminators are good, and it's always going to be nice to have them. But I can understand wanting to do a little bit more and like branch out a bit, but there's not that much to Thousand Suns, so like you gotta be careful.
There really isn't. When I go through the rest of this, we've got generic CSM vehicles that we're not going to want to pick for the Thousand Suns box. We're going to get made fun of if we put them in the box.
Rightfully so.
We get Zangor. Cultists, which will get equally memed. And then we've got Chaos Spawn, a terrible kit.
It's a decent filler, or like if they update it, it'll be really cool, but like, no.
They're actually great to put into combo boxes for players because they're such a bad price tag to value of the model standpoint, like in points, that they're good to get in combo boxes on the cheap.
Right. Oh, you're getting such a great value, but like nobody was really going to want to pay what you were trying to charge anyways.
But that leads us to our last two options. The first one I picked, because honestly, I think it's pretty solid for picking up in a box like this, and it's something that you're fine with getting a second copy of, which is the Zangor Enlightened. These are the Zangor that are on discs. There's three of them, and the kit is stupid expensive. It is a $60 kit for 45 points.
I did not know that that was a $60 kit. That's a bit excessive. It's a three-man, right?
It is a three-man unit. They are a great skirmish piece. They're great action monkeys to throw around the board to do what you need to do and to die when they need to die, right? They're amazing from a gameplay perspective for that. The main problem with them is they just cost so much that a new player is not going to pick them up unless it's forced upon them in a combo box.
Yeah.
So Zangor Enlightened is a great one for putting into this.
And I just generally like the idea of having something that's a bit more finesse kind of thing when you've got so many rubric Marines.
Yeah, you've got your main brick. We had to put a brick in here because that's how rubrics are. So having the scalpel piece that you want to do something, like you said, more finessey with is perfect. But we're obviously missing a centerpiece.
We are missing the big vehicle monster splashy thing because Infernal Master is not cutting it.
So I had two options. One is very boring. It's just a hell brute. I hate this option.
I mean, I think it's cool, but yeah.
Two, the one I went with has a problem with it that I'm sure would get argued in a meeting. I'm picking the Mutalith Vortex Beast. It is clearly Thousand Sun centerpiece model that is Thousand Sun oriented. It is our big Zeench, technically not a demon, even though it should be a demon. We're not getting into that discussion today.
It's a demon.
It is not a demon, though.
But like,
yes.
You look at that model and you're like, this is more demon looking than half of the demons that we have models for.
Absolutely. But the Mutalith Vortex Beast does have an issue. And the reason it wouldn't be a slam dunk is you can accidentally build the Slaughter Brute. I am hoping that the option is available since I've seen several of the new combo boxes and stuff are coming with remade instruction manuals. I'm hoping that when you reconfigure everything into one book, you can take out the Slaughter Brute instructions and go, look, if they're stupid enough to accidentally build the thing we didn't leave instructions for in here, that's on them, chief.
I feel like it would depend on, like, if it's just like, oh, here's a page, we just take it out, good job. Or if it's like, oh, we need to then reconfigure all of the spacing and all that stuff. But
it is literally just don't put in the instructions for the Slaughter Brute and we should be okay. Though I do understand the argument you would get in the meeting where you were saying, this is what I want to put in the box. But the Mutalith Vortex piece is such a great centerpiece to this. I'm sure on YouTube, Borrelia's got it up on the screen to show what the list looks like, but this is kind of flashy to have like the Mutalith Vortex Beast in the back, off to the side your Zangor Enlightened, and then right dead center your big brick of rubrics being led by an Infernal Master who's got his little dude he's summoning. It feels like a very thematic, hey, this is the entirety of Thousand Suns. You get a little bit of everything.
Thinking about it, yeah, it does definitely seem like a great, here's your box art. There's a way to do that and make it look great. What about having two Mutal with Vortex Beasts, though. Like, extra Rubric Marines, sure.
In 10th edition, we just got out of the meta where 3 Mutal with Vortex Beasts was correct, and now 2 is still quite good. In 9th edition, they were always a toy, but when you ran them, you wanted multiple. It's a, like... The problem with large models is half the time they're bad. When was the last time half the tanks in the game were playable? Other than this edition, a lot of them are.
Yeah, it's kind of how having points works, right? Like, you have only so many points. The big model costs more points.
Speaking of points, this actually works out to be a pretty good list. Like, it's 510 points. I specifically did not go too hard on MSRP. I didn't try to fit too much in here. This is a very believable list to ask for.
Oh, yeah. You probably could toss in some other whatever, but
I could basically just try to throw in like 2 Chaos Spawn or throw in, you know, like another set of the Zangor Enlightened or something to have 6 of them in there. I could ask for something like that, but I'm being very believable with this. This is a fair list to ask for. It's 500 points. You definitely would be fine with owning 2 of this if you're new. Your second Infernal Master is a lot less good than your first one, but in general, not bad to have. 20 rubrics is about 2/3 of the rubrics you're going to want to ever paint in your life.
But you'll probably get use out of them.
Yeah. And the ability to run a 6-man Zangor unit, solid, or 2/3s to, you know, get some board control. And 2 Mutal with Vortex Beasts is probably the number I would recommend if people are interested in the model to own. 3 is kind of pushing it, but like, there's nothing saying you couldn't buy 3 of this box.
But like, you're gonna really want Mutal with Vortex Beasts. Like, you're gonna have to love that model, right?
Yeah, but from an actual discount standpoint, we're only at $250 MSRP, which is a 36% discount. It's a very believable amount to ask for. It's on the better side of the newer combat patrols, but it's about a little bit lower than what I was targeting compared to the other good ones that came out in 9.
It's not the best, but like, it's doing all the things.
And I think a lot of the issue we had as Thousand Suns players is 20 Zangor is not it to show off what Thousand Suns look like when most of your box is Zangor.
And that's the thing is, like, we didn't bring this up, but one of the important parts, in my opinion, for a combat patrol or any like intro box is like setting expectations correctly.
Making the army look like the army.
And Zangor spam isn't it.
One day Zangor will have our turn. I have so many, I have to be able to play them someday.
So yeah, I think the list that you've got with, you know, the rubrics, the Infernal Master, a couple Zangor that are like unique and interesting, and then a big centerpiece with the Mutal Vortex Beast is a good representation of like what you're trying to do. The only other things would be like, okay, now you're going to look at getting some more specialized characters or a Rhino or something like that. But like, you don't want that in the box.
Yeah, but that's enough of Thousand Suns. Let's move into your first list. I think this was probably the most simple to throw together.
Yeah, so I went with Votann. As much thought as you had to put into Thousand Suns, I didn't really have to do for Votann other than like
checking prices, I assume.
Checking prices was the biggest problem. It's difficult to get to like 500 points, but not be like $310 or something like that. As it is, I'm definitely on the higher end.
This is definitely the most expensive box we threw together for this episode, but it's kind of fair because it's the newest army, so everything has bloated prices.
Exactly.
This just be how James Workshop do.
Yeah, it's a bit weird to do this one because like the current box is not terrible.
It's not. I think it's short of Sagittar.
Yeah, basically.
It's not a terrible box by any means. It's not the worst of the edition. I think it just didn't accent its original launch box well, which annoyed a lot of people.
Yeah. And then I think there's also another problem of just like at the moment, the Votann roster is so small that it's like, okay, how much can you really do? And this is a reasonable attempt. Hopefully we're getting more rosters soon. And when that happens, probably revisit this because I'm going to be interested to see what could be done. But for the list that I put together, I kind of wanted to get a Sagittar in there.
Yeah.
Honestly, I would have loved to get the Land Fortress, but that was not like.
But the Sagittar works as a centerpiece type model to draw the eye. It's your basic vehicle. It works.
And it does have a pretty unique profile. You look at it and you're like, oh, that's kind of different than a lot of the other stuff.
It's a lot more aesthetically pleasing than throwing a Rhino in.
Which is nice, and that does help a decent amount. And then, okay, we need battle line unit, so 10 Hearthkin Warriors.
There's only one choice. Congrats, you did it.
Get in there. Good job. Then the tough part then came down to the rest of it. And as much as I wanted to play around with like the other characters, you know, the Brokir Iron Master champion or Grimnir. They just didn't really fit into the whole cohesive band kind of thing, especially when you were looking at getting a secondary box of it.
And it has the other problem of they're all more expensive than the call, physically speaking. We're already asking for a lot from the bean counters here.
Yeah, so ended up with the call. I'm not particularly thrilled by this one because the call builds into the named one, Uthtar, which, like, it's fine, but it's just not something that I particularly enjoy.
We try to avoid characters that can be built wrong.
Right.
Part of this, when you look at what GW is trying to move towards in Combat Patrols, is not having a character you can screw up.
Luckily, the call being built as the epic hero isn't terrible.
Other than the fact that he's a terrible character from an actual, like, gameplay standpoint, but that's not a real problem.
Right. Like, that's, it'll be fixed eventually, hopefully. So, it's not too bad. The other thing is, like, the call does have options. So it's like, okay, how do you want to build it? And as a new player, you, like, you get to that, like, decision paralysis kind of thing of, like, which one should I choose? I just won't choose anything. So while I do think having the call in this does have its downsides, I think it's still probably the best choice out of the options that we have. Then we're basically halfway done with the list, essentially. So it's on to elites or more battle line. And, like, I think it's cooler to show off the elite units.
Yeah, we want more variety. We don't want 20 of the same model in here.
Yeah, as much as I think it would be solid to do that with Sagittar and, like, you could have some good fun with it, I think it is better to kind of show off the army as much as possible. And it does help to diversify if we're looking at buying multiples. So grabbed a thing of Brokir Thunderkin and the Einherjar Hearthguard. Basically one of each.
It gives us an anti-vehicle type unit and a Terminator type unit.
Yeah, which then kind of allows you to test out what you really like out of them and buy the character that goes with them kind of thing.
Yeah, which honestly, that might be a good sales pitch internally to help be like, look, I know we're asking for a lot on the MSRP standpoint, but we can use this as a way to bait them into buying other overpriced characters.
Which you likely would, because, you know, they actually play really well together. It's kind of how Votan works. And at the same time, even without the extra characters, they'll still do their job. They're still elite units that handle correctly, essentially.
All right, so what are we looking at for the actual bottom line here? What do we have to convince the bean counters is okay?
Yeah, so we're up at 285 MSRP, which is below our, like, maximum 300.
But above the comfort standpoint, we'd like it to be 40 or less. And this is 44%.
Yeah, this is about 44% off. And I could see there being some pushback.
At the same time, it's a very expensive army like Gene Stealers. And part of 9th edition's Gene Stealer boom was you could afford the army due to the discount box.
Right. And I think the pricing is why the current box is the way it is. Because I just kind of, like, worked out a little bit better. But again, I don't think this is too much off, while at the same time you can kind of be like, well, they're gonna buy this box, maybe they'll buy two because it's still solid, and they're also going to buy some more, like they're gonna buy a couple characters, maybe we'll even sucker them into that land fortress
till they see the price. Then Eric will ask for Christmas for his orc army.
Yeah, he could also do that. But I don't think that's quite the sales pitch to get everybody on board for. But yeah, I mean, there's only so much to really talk about the Votan, just because we've brought up everything other than the fact that, like, we didn't put the bikers in, because, like, I think that the infantry are more core to what Votan's trying to do at the moment. And that's all of their models.
That's basically it, yeah.
So I do want to look again at Votan once more is released, because then we'll get, one, we'll have more options, and two, we'll finally get a feeling for how GW is going to be pushing Votan forward. At the moment, I feel like this would be the premier combat patrol for my enjoyment, but I think that's about it. So you want to go back into Chaos?
Yeah, so I've got two more in Chaos, and I might as well do them before we bait everyone into your insane Imperium one.
All right. We'll really drag it out. I like it.
Ooh, wait, we can make it even better. You guys could guess what it is down in the comments. Ooh.
Yeah, and while you're there, click the subscribe and the bell and whatever else is there.
Wow, please don't do that ever again. I never knew I was going to say that, but Bricky was right. You guys are terrible at this. I'm not even deleting this. Everybody's gonna suffer with me. Sorry, guys. You guys now know what I suffer through.
All right, enough with the YouTube stuff. Tell me about the army that you want to build a combat patrol for.
So this one was, again, one that everyone was asking for last time. I did Death Guard. I feel like they kind of needed the worst out of everybody, but I just didn't want to deal with it last time. It was too low-hanging. But I figured I'd give it a whirl. And it was a lot less bad than Thousand Sons and my other army.
Yeah?
This one kind of just fell together, and I felt like I enjoyed every little thing I threw in here.
That's honestly kind of interesting. Because I figured it would be tough to do Death Guard right.
After how bad their attempt was?
Yeah.
So, I had a lot of choice here. Death Guard has more characters than Thousand Sons has dedicated range.
I mean, are you counting, like, Demon Prince and Demon's Prince with wings as two?
Hey, sure, but the same would happen for Thousand Sons. There's a lot of options, is my point.
A lot of named options, too, which could be a problem.
I've got 10 of them without going to CSM models to lead this army as valid characters I could throw in here.
That's a good amount of options.
So, I went with what GW is going to want. I'm throwing in a Lord of Virulence first. Which I know a lot of people are going to groan at because it's not great right now. My reason is it's not great right now. It did not sell well. GW's going to want it in a combo box. And it's honestly, it could be worse.
That's stellar salesmanship right there. The model itself is neat, so.
Correct. From a casual standpoint, there's nothing wrong with it.
And, like, the power of the actual data sheet can be changed.
I actually think in 10th it's not embarrassing. In 9th it was embarrassing. But we're throwing that in to start with, and because it's here, obviously the first thing I threw in is something for it to lead, so I don't break my rule of having leaders without things to lead.
Fair enough.
So, I had to choose between the Terminators. And I'm sorry, I know Death Shroud Terminators look better and are cooler.
They are so much cooler.
But Blightlord Terminators have more synergy with the Lord of Virulence, and they're still fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with them.
I accept that.
So, we've got a Lord of Virulence who can lead these Blightlord Terminators. Now we have to make sure we fulfill putting a battle line unit in. So, Plague Marines, get in here. 7 of you, because that's just how that kit works.
Oh, is it? Okay.
And it's a kit of 7 because meme number. It was right in that phase of, like, you can see them figuring everything out of, like, Thousand Sons, manufacturing issues in the last thing in the old Marine scale. Death Guard, the first thing to occur in that weird era where they were like combining sprues so that would never be sellable again, and all sorts of problems. Really bad, easy to build kits.
Which, like, hilariously, if they had made the units a group of 7 and a group of 14 or something like that.
Yeah, but it's 5, 7, 10, and 7 had to get added because they forgot that it was a meme.
Yeah, right.
It was only 5 and 10 originally.
That makes the box dumb. And I get why you don't do, oh, hey, just have 7 and 14 because, like, that's how the box is and you've got a special number. That makes balancing the rest and, like, the expectation of battle line is like, hey, you have 5 and 10. So, yeah, whatever.
So, the nice part of this is between Blightlord Terminators and 7 Plague Marines, you can get a lot of variety in guns and stuff to have everything feel very kill teamy, I guess would be the word. Like, everyone feels a little special.
Yeah, I was going to say, Plague Marines have a bunch of options. I don't know how much you get in the actual kit, like, to do kind of thing, but, like,
yeah, so you get to play around is my point. And then we've got to have a centerpiece model.
Yeah, you've got a core group of Death Guard that are just gonna blob and be Death Guard-y.
So the Plague Burst Crawler was not happening.
Oh, if only.
It ain't gonna fit in here. It both has the price issue, and looking at it honestly, it looks like an absolute terror for new players. It does have the nice part of it plays the best with Lord of Virulence. However, I think it's a good sales pitch to give you the Lord of Virulence, not give you your Plague Burst Crawler, and then you want to go out and buy the Plague Burst Crawler after you've bought your Combat Patrol.
Yeah, I feel like the Plague Burst Crawler also runs into issues of just, like, you're going to be too high of points.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, almost 200, I think.
It's a lot of points. You're right. I would have had other issues, actually. So the other one I didn't go with that's a centerpiece is the Mephitic Blight Hauler. Reason being, it's a little small for a centerpiece, and it's only $29 MSRP because it's an easy-to-build kit.
Oh, and it comes in by itself, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I didn't think it was worth throwing in here. It actually makes it kind of a terrible discount box.
Well, because, like, really, like, if you were going to put it in there, you'd have to put 3 in to make it, like, a centerpiece. I see what you're saying. It's doable, but not really.
So the point is, the obvious final one to do is the foetid bloatjoan.
Pretty sure it's just fetid.
Oh, is it fetid? Why is there a fucking O?
I think it's just British.
Oh, is it? I could blame the French.
I could be completely wrong. That could be an actual different word, but I thought that was just like GW, British, whatever. I think it's just fetid.
It is. The actual word is fucking fetid. This is why no one trusts the British with anything. You're not even the best at your own language.
I mean, Americans aren't either, but...
but at least we're not in last place.
You're not wrong.
But the fetid bloat drone actually looks like a really nice centerpiece that you can put near the back. It still stands out as much taller than everything else. And it's not like overbearing like the gigantic plague burst crawler would be.
It's actually interesting that the fetid bloat drone is like, it's pretty tall.
Yeah, it stands pretty tall, yeah.
It's not like obnoxious, but it's a solid centerpiece is basically what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's small compared to other ones, but it's very vertical. So we've got some points left and I wanted to up our MSRP a bit because I didn't want this to be like a terrible value. So I figured the Plague Marines don't have something to lead them. And I feel like your battle line unit probably should be leadable.
If you can do it, it would be nice, especially for Death Guard.
Yeah, Death Guard also has all the leaders who can like double up. So giving you an extra leader and showing that they're a very leader heavy army, at least on paper, is probably correct for setting expectations. So I threw the Tallyman in there, partly just because I think the Plague Marines get a bunch of fun melee options, and the Tallyman's one of the better melee leaders.
Okay, fair enough. And like that one is actually really cheap point wise.
Yeah, so it's not like it's a big deal.
It just kind of like slides in there.
So all of that together, Lord of Virulence, Tallyman, Plague Marines, Light Lord Terminators, and Fetid Bloat Drone works out to be 253 MSRP, which is almost exactly the same as my Thousand Suns one 36% discount. I don't think you'd have any issues getting this one past the bean counters. I honestly think this is a near best case scenario to ask for a combat patrol with like balancing being realistic and getting a good combat patrol out of the deal.
Yeah, I'm just thinking like, okay, the first one, yeah, definitely.
I think the second one's still good. The second Lord of Virulence is a little more awkward.
That's where I was wondering, like, is there a way to do something with that that isn't actually, you know, cut these things, snip these things, grab some other stuff, you know, like, is there an easy?
I would say since he's Terminator sized, you chop the arms off below the shoulder pad and put some of your spare Blight Lord Terminator stuff together to make a Lord of Contagion, which the official Lord of Contagion kit isn't sold anymore. You've got to buy, what's his face, the named one that was in like a promo set, Lord Filthius.
All right.
So you gotta buy him to be a Lord of Contagion now. So the second one is probably going to be a good one to turn into a Lord of Contagion, just for value for the customer standpoint if they want to be clever and do that.
Okay. So like there is something that's not, most people aren't going to want to do actual kit bashing.
New players aren't probably going to kit bash, but if it's your second army and you're looking to maximize value, it's probably going to be the casual advice that, you know, gets told on like the Death Guard subreddits and Discords or whatever.
And, you know, that isn't a massive selling point, but it does matter. I like having the second buying of this new combat patrol that we're imagining would actually work pretty well.
Yeah, I don't think you're buying a third.
No.
But I guess it's like not technically impossible.
Sure, but like given the discount is not like amazing, I feel like two is probably where you're at, which is fine. And like that would give you honestly a very solid core to your Death Guard army. You've got your Terminators, you've got your battle line basically solid, and you got some good characters. Like that's Death Guard.
Yeah, at that point it's basically just buying the characters and the models you like. From there, you've got a core.
Yeah, and then you just buy your Plague Burst Crawlers and off to the races. 2K, let's go.
All right, so to continue teasing everybody, let's do my last Chaos one.
We're running out of Chaos, I feel like, man.
We're not. Not by a long shot. So Demons was the final one for me. And I thought I was going to be clever. My original intent was to reimagine Demons as a Chaos Undivided Demon Combat Patrol to be more accurately Demon Combat Patrol. I give the Demon Combat Patrol shit because it is the Khorne Combat Patrol.
I mean, it very much is.
It's not a terrible Combat Patrol, but it's Khorne.
Like, I mean, it's honestly pretty solid just to have one of if you're playing it, but it's Khorne. Which, honestly, I figured you were going to go like, okay, we've got the Khorne one, let's make the Slaanesh one.
So that's where we ended up, but first let's talk about my original plan and how it fell through. I still think I will attempt this later, but for right now, it was kind of a disaster. I tried throwing together Chaos Demons Undivided, and I learned why we got the Khorne one. So when it comes to Undivided, the only fair middle option for everybody is a Demon Prince.
I think that that's a great choice, yeah.
So it was clearly the first thing I threw in. The Demon Prince has the weird, unfortunate thing of you can't choose Undivided in Demons, which I'm pretty sure you can in CSM, but that's a different problem. So you do have to dedicate it to a god, but at least it's your choice.
And like, it's not forced kind of thing of like, oh, you bought the kit. Clearly that kit is, you know, Tzeentch with a Lord of Change.
Right.
You're not playing him as a Khorne. Right? Like, Demon Prince, yeah, you're technically locked into something, but, like, it's still Demon Prince.
Yeah, and you can put the generic hat on it and play it as whatever. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good start.
So, clearly the starting point. Then I was like, all right, I'll try to do one thing from every Chaos God. That's the obvious way to fill this out, and we're done. This ran into two problems. The first being how bad it is to try to choose a balanced list that correctly shows off all the Chaos Gods. And the second is these are terrible together. Chaos Undivided doesn't work.
It's not in a spot that you would traditionally look at and say, yes, that is a balanced army.
Like, looking at it, I was like, all right, clearly for the battle line unit, we go Khorne because it's the most classic, this is what a demon battle line is. Even though Bloodletters are the worst battle line unit I have ever put together in my life.
Maybe you would choose Nurglings just because, like, hey, everybody loves a Nurgling.
Nurglings are weird because they're like the OC0. They're not the choice.
I think you're right with just take the Khorne battle line. It's going to show off Khorne.
And Tzeentch is basically banned from this because of how horrors work. I don't know how you build a Tzeentch combat patrol with how horrors work.
Why?
Because you can't just give someone pink horrors because it splits.
Oh, huh. I mean, I guess like you just give them the blue horrors.
Sure, I guess you could do just blue horrors. But like, that's not the Tzeentchiest thing.
It's not, but it's not that far off. It's not great.
Yeah, this is where we get into, it's probably going to have to be my choice when we do a Tzeentch one, but this is why Tzeentch was banned from there. So Khorne was for that, and then I was like, Slaanesh, I want something to show off the fast stuff, so I guess we'll just do Seekers. And then we got to like Nurgle, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to add in more basic battle line units to the Plague Bearers are out. Nurglings are essentially adding MSRP for no points.
I know what you could put. It's nice and sloppity.
Yeah. Well, no, he's a character. So I did a Beast of Nurgle, and then we got to, like, what do I add in Tzeentch now? Because, like, that was my elite choice. I still don't have a centerpiece, really, other than maybe the Demon Prince.
I mean, the Demon Prince, I think, is a reasonable centerpiece.
And I was like, well, maybe I do the Chariot. The Chariot is a nightmare to explain to a new player. A, it blew my MSRP out of the water, but B, the Burning Chariot, for those who don't know, either makes the Fate Skimmer, three blue horrors, and an Exalted Flamer of Tzeentch on foot, or makes the Burning Chariot of Tzeentch, zero or three blue horrors, because they're an optional thing, and a Change Caster. That means you get an HQ in this no matter how you cut it, and it's real awkward to explain to a new player. It's a great value kit. It's part of why the Tzeentch Star Collecting was really good, but it's not fitting in here. It's breaking like 10 rules. And then I was looking around at like redistributing the list, and everything fell apart. The more I started playing, I started realizing exactly why we got Khorne.
I feel like there is a way to get there.
There is, for the individual ones. When you try to mix and match, you just show off how bad Demons is as an army. Like, it is not focused, nothing affects each other, everything is terrible.
And you also run the issues of, like, price and points are, like, just gonna be such a pain in the ass to actually figure out. Because, like, realistically, each god doesn't have that many options in Demons. Ignoring characters.
It's a pretty famous complaint of mine.
So, like, there's only so many knobs that you can turn to get to a Chaos Undivided combat patrol that's any good that you would maybe want two of.
So, Undivided, thrown out the window. So instead I was like, screw it, it's my favorite army. Why not just do this for, you know, all three other gods? To do the first one, I obviously went, well, I already did a Tzeentch list and a Nurgle list today, so I'm doing Slaanesh. So other than Khorne, who already gets two combat patrols, I figured I'd give the rest of the Chaos Gods some love today.
I mean, you've got Demonettes.
Yeah, so for Slaanesh, we obviously start off Battle Lion, Demonettes, solid in there, done. The real problem becomes finding a leader.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a few options.
Which ones do you think I have, Eric? Here, I'll share you the demon page. Tell me which Slaanesh demons you think I can use to be a leader here and not break one of our rules.
Yeah, wow.
Shalaxy is named. Seleski is named.
The Mask.
The Mask is a named character. It's not generic. So we're left with with either Demon Prince, which we're not doing, Keeper of Secrets, which we're not doing, or we've got the Tranceweaver or Torment Bringer, which is the Herald of Slaanesh. Here's the problem. They're exactly like the Tzeentch Chariot kit, where you can either build the Foot Hero and an unnamed chariot, or the Chariot Hero, so that one's probably not going to work. So we've got two last options. I can either put in an Infernal Enrapturous or a Contorted Epitome.
Yeah. There's a lot of named characters in there. Yeah, I think that's about it.
Yeah, welcome to Demons. We are 90% named characters and four kits. The Infernal Enrapturous didn't seem very good looking at it. It's basically a medic in 10th edition.
That's not terrible.
But it's a medic for Slaanesh demons, yeah, who will not be alive after first combat.
Yeah, it's just like, it's fine, but not really. Again, expectations, if you put a medic in, is going to be weird when you actually are like playing Slaanesh demons and shit just trades and dies.
Yeah, so I went with the Contorted Epitome because I ran out of options, even though it's not my favorite kit to put together, but nothing in Slaanesh will be.
All right, fair enough.
So Demonettes led by a Contorted Epitome, first part solid. Rounding it out, we just throw the rest of Slaanesh in here. So Seekers go in, Fiends go in. Okay, we're out of Slaanesh units. So this gets into the final problem. We've got to throw a Chariot in here, and the Chariot kit is A, a menace, and B, it's really weird how it works. Are you ready for this, Eric?
You could tell me, but I'm worried that you're going to say something about like the Hellflayer being like smashed in it.
What do you mean smashed in it?
Like part of the kit for the normal Chariot.
It is one kit that makes either Chariot.
Is it really?
Here's the fun part. The one that GW doesn't show you is the only one that's a character anymore. The Torment Bringer on Exalted Seeker Chariot. Do you know how you make it? You need two kits.
That's fantastic.
So to make the full chariot, you need two copies of the chariot kit and then read the instructions on how to Voltron them together.
In like actual instructions or like online?
That's the real instructions.
You're telling me that like GW instructions are buy two of this thing?
Yeah. This is why Demons is a living nightmare, and that's why they don't tend to focus on it, because half the range is older than AOS, which is when GW started being good at doing things. So I threw in an Exalted Seeker Chariot, and I said, might as well be the character one officially speaking, just because it's a party bus that gives buffs and actually hits a lot, but if you build it wrong, no one cares, because we've got our fallback of the Contorted Epitome.
Sure.
And two copies of this kit is not very expensive. It's a $35 kit, which is why it's not very expensive, because they expect you to buy two for every chariot, or you build the two mini chariots.
This combat patrol would need to have their instructions updated.
Yes.
Like, it would have to have a completely unique ground-up design to make this work, because anybody who buys it as a new player is just going to build two things.
Look, spoilers here. About 80% of the demon range is online only at this point. We're sweating. This is what Harlequins got before they got Fetus Deletist.
But, like, you can't delete demons.
You can't, but GW is very stupid. So, I don't know what's happening, but I can tell you why we got the Khorne combat patrol.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if the other ones, you know, Nurgle and Tzeentch, are going to be better to figure out. I'm sure Tzeentch is going to be super easy.
Nurgle's the easiest out of the three. It's the only one that you could pick instead of Khorne, but Khorne is more classic what a demon looks like to a new player, whereas Nurgle just looks like zombies.
Especially if you're not really trying. You know, like, look at the old Death Guard combat patrol. It's like, yeah, there's like Terminator things and then just a bunch of zombies.
Yeah, if we're being honest, the best place to put Tzeentch and Slaanesh is hidden behind a curtain and hope nobody notices. They're very old kits. So are the Bloodletters. They're a terrible kit and the Bloodletters need to be updated, GW. But the rest of Khorne is fine.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like if we had the rules all fixed and like they did things in a way that shows like the combat patrol that you've put together with, you know, Contorted Epitome, the Tormentor, Exalted Seeker Chariot, Demonette Seekers, and Fiends. It's a good combat patrol. It'll show off what you're trying to do, but like,
it's over 500 points. MSRP wise, I didn't even do too bad. It's 265, so it's a 39% discount. Stayed under my 40% mark.
Honestly, if you ignore all the logistic problems, like if that just like, if you just looked at the list, the price, and you know, the discount expectation, this is great.
It's solid. Two of this is not a bad start to a Slaanesh faction. Like, you're probably going to want more Demonettes because Slaanesh players tend to just love Demonette spam, and you'll probably want to spend the rest of your time collecting a bunch bunch of named characters because that's all there is in Chaos Demons. But this is basically the whole range for Slaanesh.
It's a solid start. Disappointing to hear about all the logistic problems on why it's unlikely to happen, but very, very interesting.
All right, we have teased everybody for long enough. Eric, reveal your secret assignment you gave yourself that I decided we were doing this episode as soon as you said you wanted to do it.
I am going to show you an Imperial Knights combat patrol with a little twist to make it actually possible.
I loved this.
Yeah, so I mean, they've kind of been pushing a bit more the Agents of Imperium. So what if we took Knights and Agents of Imperium and made a single combat patrol that could potentially maybe work?
We found issues because I also did this. As soon as Eric had the idea, I was like, well, now I want to play. We came up with very similar lists in the end, but I think we both ran into the same problem.
To be fair, there's always going to be a problem. Like, this is a knight anything at about 500-ish points. You know, smaller games. Knights already have problems at 2K-point games. So, like, just inherently, there's going to be issues.
There's a second issue, which is Agents of the Imperium is not real and it can't hurt you. GW made very sure through rules that Agents of the Imperium will never be good.
It's like you said, like, way back when we saw them, like, they're basically nothing unless they're busted rules-wise.
That's how they've been through all the editions that we've played. They will not exist until one unit is broken, until the next points update, and then it will continue to be bad.
And, like, whatever, that's fine. I do feel like there is potential that they're going to try and push it a little bit more, but that's just like my own wild hopes. But they do technically have some rules that exist to let us do something like this. We can take one retinue unit and one character unit at the 500 point ish, which Brad said that basically kills them from like being the core.
Which is unfortunate because the list looked better when I had two different types of units for Imperial Agents and then only two Warglaves or a Helvern and a Warglaive or whatever. Those would look more visually pleasing as a combat patrol and look more like a combat patrol.
Yes. Or I had also looked at doing like two characters, retinue and then the knights, because then you could have an assassin. So like there are a lot of problems that obviously come up with this, and like Agents of the Imperium don't have rules, so you can't just be like, oh, I'll play that
and soup in a knight.
Yeah, souping a knight. Like, they literally don't have rules. The only rules are you can only take one or two or three of them. But all that said, it's not impossible to do in a weird way.
So explain to us the list.
The list that I came up with is two Armiger Warglaives.
Sure.
And Armiger Helverin.
Which is possible. We double checked. The sprues line up. You can give odd numbers of Armigers. It appears GW has done this in at least one box in the past, so we're good.
Yeah, this was one that I was like, without being able to split them in half, I don't think we, like, technically I was able to put something together, but it was not even remotely worth anything. Since we can split them, we can have two Warglaives and a Helverin, or switch it up, whatever. I feel like the Warglaives are a bit better to have as the two of originally, because they kind of look cooler to me. Then for the Agents of the Imperium, I went with a squad of Subductors.
Eric, what the hell is a Subductor?
So these are the Exaction Squad, but built with, like, shields.
But built different. Built wrong.
Essentially, yeah. It's interesting how terrible these units actually are, especially for their point cost. They're, like, 110 points. They're 3 toughness, 1 wound with a 3-up save. They don't really have, I mean, they've got a pistol, and then they've got a hammer that does 4-1/1. So, yeah, they're actually pretty terrible. They do have, like, a chance to fight on death, which is kind of neat, but they're pretty bad. I think they do have an invuln, but, like, they're a 1 wound model, which, honestly, I kind of like to have that frail dudes just, like, running around these supposedly big knights. I mean, I know that they're Armigers, but, like, we're in combat patrol land. Then to kind of round it out, I just went with the Inquisitor Eisenhorn.
My favorite character.
Honestly, you could pick, like, any of the ones that are not assassins. If there was, like, a normal version of Inquisitor Karamazov, that would actually be pretty cool, but, like, it's not a real thing. So, yeah, I went with Eisenhorn just because it felt like it would be neat to have the dominant will shooting thingy. This does cost a lot of points.
Yeah, my version was more minimal, and I still had the same issues as you. I went double Helvern Warglaive to save 10 points, and instead of doing the subtraction squad or whatever they're called, I did Inquisitorial Henchmen, the new kill team, and I did the newest Inquisitor, Kyria, just because most of the Inquisitor kits are ancient and look like garbage, so I went with the newest one for the simple fact that it looked the least bad.
Yeah, she's not, like, doing anything particularly special for the rules-wise, but, like...
None of the Inquisitors are.
Yeah. So I had two reasons I didn't go with the henchmen. One, I think the Subductor Squad's actually just worse. I think it'll play better.
Yeah, I was trying to minimize points, though, because, again, you shot over 600 points, and people despise... Knights.
Oh, absolutely.
My original list was actually pretty solid looking. I had the exact same list, but you drop one of the Helvern. So it's a Helvern, a Warglaive, your Inquisitor with their henchman squad. Then I just did the Rogue Trader with the Voidsman for a unit to lead. And it looks really nice on paper. Like when you actually look at the units next to each other with two knights in the background, you're like, this is a cacophony of random Imperium allies. And you could throw off like Allies of the Imperium box set or something. Like it sounds great. It's got the weird eclectic theme of all the offshoots of the Imperium. Great idea. Not legal.
No, it's hilarious that you bring that up because I also was looking at the Rogue Trader Voidsman as like, okay, that'll be kind of like the boots on ground kind of basics, and then, you know, we'll have an Inquisitor and their henchmen or whatever. But yeah, it just doesn't legally work. Disappointing, but this was an interesting thing to come together. Like, yeah, mine's 615, you know, take 10 points off and switch to Helvern, 605, like whatever. Yours is 575. I feel like the henchmen, I don't really like, one, because like they actually have a bunch of options. And, like, they're decent. But, two, like, they have so many options that it's just not a beginner kit, like, at all.
It's a kill team kit. It is a more option-heavy kit, yes.
Even beyond that, it's, like, you have, I think it's, like, 11 potential models, but, like, you can only make 7. But only if you do these specific models. Because if you do this one, then you can only get 6 total. It's weird. They made it as annoying as possible, which just really doesn't feel Combat Patrol-y to me.
Yeah, there's a reason that they did not make this Combat Patrol. We were clearly spitting in the face of God trying this.
But, I mean, as it is, you know, like, my list, way over in points, 230 MSRP, 31% off, not amazing. I think yours was very close, but within the realm of possibilities, and, like, if they had tweaked just a little bit to how Agents of the Imperium work, and allow, like, rules-wise, this could actually be legit.
It feels like Knights and Agents of the Imperium, if they had more overlap, it would fix problems with both armies, especially at smaller point games.
Very much so.
Which I know everyone else is screaming, AdMech, AdMech, AdMech right now, but that ship has sailed.
Yeah, I was like, maybe one day, but not within the next, like, decade.
I think GW is just regretting making AdMech at this point.
Probably. But I would be on board for seeing a bit more of the overlap. But it feels like they're going to be doing more with Agents of the Imperium. I just don't know if it's going to be like, oh, let's make it more soup, or if it's going to be like, oh, let's grab the other parts and make it a real faction.
I have no idea what they'll do with that.
But this Combat Patrol will never happen. Out of the other ones that we've done, we try and keep it realistic.
They're mostly updates and like a hopeful future, not so much trying to make them the best thing ever, but believable yet still a better outcome than we could hope for. When you brought it up, I had to double check if you would be able to make an agent a warlord, and you can, but I had to go check all the rules.
Yeah, it's just not the assassins, which it is kind of wild that you can do it at all with the amount of restrictions that Agents of the Imperium have, just because partially they just don't have rules. But yeah, they can technically be your warlord.
There's no rule that says you can't have an agent as a warlord, just like there's no rule that says a dog can't play basketball.
You're not wrong.
All right, well, that is definitely the most fun I had putting these lists together, just trying to do that whole insane idea of making knights playable in Combat Patrol. That was really fun. The fact that you brought it up and my first reaction was to open New Recruit and see if it was possible myself, that's a sales pitch for an exciting episode for me.
It was almost like I was kind of hesitant to bring it up because I was like, this could just be like in the rules, obviously you can't do it, and then I'm just gonna look like, you know, egg on my face kind of thing. But I was like, no, I don't think there is anything. I have to bring it up. It's just too good. very fun, but we've still got a bunch to do.
Oh, I'm sure people are going to be leaving a million comments for every comment patrol they want us to do still. I think we've got enough ammo for the whole edition. We can go through basically everybody.
Yeah, but like definitely, I mean, let us know which one you are most excited about kind of thing, and we'll keep that in mind.
And before we go, a quick reminder, please do the YouTube pleasantries unironically if you can. Thank you. But we also have a big pile of patrons to mention this month due to all of the insane growth we had the last few weeks.
Yeah, which thank you. And this is going to take a minute.
So let's start off strong with 4K Fart.
99 Nines.
Adrian Franke.
Alex Fuja.
All Nighter.
Andreas.
Andrew Kubicek.
Bedlam's Nemesis.
Beth Jesus.
Cameron R.
Christopher Gargliano.
Chroma Vale.
Craig Judge.
Cube 1359.
Dash Gaming.
Devin Voiles.
Dominic Colasico.
Dragon Egg.
Duskers.
Edward Lawrence.
Ellis Corton.
Ethan Gerard.
Ezelvor.
Finn Smiley's.
Gathering Clouds.
Gyarados.
Happy Brontosaurus.
Hyperion TV.
Yayan.
Iron Father.
Jacob Gibson.
Jarrett Perna.
Jaden.
Joel.
Kalex.
Kevin Kokolau.
Kyle the Warrior.
Lucas.
Le Bloop Loop. That one got me.
That's good. That was unexpected. I was not ready for that one. Madison Ramanama.
Matthew Tsushima.
Michael Melcher.
McSoley Diaz.
Monkey 218.
Morphiel 55.
Nick DeFeo.
Nikki.
And Jay Harlan.
Owl B Bark.
Pierce.
Proteus 7331.
Retro Brave.
Rookie XP.
Ross Warlock.
Samuel Summerfield.
Sarah Hansen.
Scott Gray.
Severed Sage.
Sophia of Luna.
Squareson.
The Marine Who Plays Tau.
Crusader 13.
The Ulamog.
Martha Mark.
Vault Guardian.
Warm Hotcakes.
And Yasser Zazo. We also have producers. They are Blisted Brain.
Brandon Janky.
Demolition Man.
Dr. Lace.
Yon Guy C.
Joel Rachels.
Kiwi Fruit Bird.
Matt L.
Michael DeLulo.
Michael Sullivan.
Noel.
Rock.
Rook.
Those back to back are so like dyslexic orienting on your eyes. Like,
yes, your brain does not like having those words next to each other.
No. The fucking God Emperor of Mankind.
And War Game Simulator.
Thank you everyone so much for all your support. It's been awesome, man.
All right, that does it for us this week. Thank you again, everybody. We are out of here.
Sounds good.
All right, we did all the name talks already, so we're all good. We can just say our stuff and go. I'm Brad. You can find me on Twitter at Dr. Ruler. You can find Eric
on Twitter at OneCoolSora.
The show has an email, as always, which is thepoorhammerpodcast@gmail.com.
Don't forget to check out our merch, orchid8.com, the Poor Hammer section. There's some great stuff there.
If those objective markers aren't back in stock yet, go yell at Bricky. Politely.
I heard that they're pretty popular, so you're supposed to follow the crowd and continue buying more popular things, right? That's how it works.
We also have a Patreon that a lot of you have joined in the last couple weeks. It is at patreon.com/solelysingleton, where you could join great patrons like Gator Pillar. That's also a good one. I like that one.
Yeah, that's it. Just rolls, man.
Just imagine an alligator with a bunch of legs.
Oh no. Are they like super stumpy, or are they like the normal size gator?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Like can't even walk. Like waving.
Basically, just a snake.
Yeah, yeah.
With like fuck off teeth and stuff.
Normal snakes have those too, Eric.
Well, I mean, not the same way.
All right, we did everything else. We can just go. I hope you all enjoyed this episode. I hope you all tune into whatever we're doing next week. I may drag Bricky on here just to yell at him. Until then, have a great week, everyone. Eric, take us out.
I can't get the image of like a king cobra with the teeth and jaw structure of a crocodile.
I like the idea of still having the crocodile body, but with the cobra frill hood thing and the the stupid caterpillar legs.
Oh, man.
No neck. Like, still an alligator.
I feel like we're in dangerous territories of platypusing.
Platypusing? Everything keeps evolving into platypuses because they're high.